Oh my goodness, come in everybody. I am so glad to be back with you tonight. While I was gone, I want to say thank you to everybody that filled in the gap and shared those most awesome testimonies and the most awesome words. It was so beautiful, and I am just so thankful that they were here for us. So God bless you. Thank you for coming in. Let us just start by joining together in prayer. I want us to pray for Sister Lupe Garcia. She had to go have a little procedure on her throat at the hospital this morning. So we're just going to pray. Lupe, Anthony, if you're watching tonight, we speak the glory of God and his healing virtue into you. May that healing power just open up your throat. We bless all that the doctor did. And Lord, all of those that are out there right now, Lord, from the church that have the broken bones and some of those things going on, we thank you, Lord, for those that you have already raised up and brought healing to you. But we thank you for complete healing for Brother Ken and for Lupe and for some of the rest tonight, Lord. We just give you praise. And a million thanks, Lord, for this word that's getting ready to go forth. This word already has an anointing on it. Now, Lord, just anoint me as I endeavor to present this word for you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, if you got your Bibles, we're going to go to two places tonight. And while you're going to Psalms chapter 62, we will go to Psalm 62, and we are going to go to Acts chapter 4. So get your Bibles, take a look with me. It's just going to be so good. And I'm just talking to you out of my heart. I started to say off the top of my head, but I don't think you'd like that. So let me speak to you literally from the word of the Lord tonight, as soon as I can get my iPad here. But I want to say to you, Friday morning, now, while you're looking that up, while you're going to Psalm 62, Friday morning, we always have such a special time. I know it's not a sunrise service. Sunrise service is usually on Resurrection Day on Sunday. But we at Landmark love to acknowledge the day that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So we wake up early to put forth, I hate to even say it, a little effort to get up and go out at 6:15. Meet me there at 6:15. We'll have a little fellowship with a sweet roll and coffee if you want. And I have a little something for you, for everybody that comes. But I love you so much. And we have such a wonderful time when we assemble together on Good Friday. So I won't keep you long. It'll be about 45 minutes. And we're going to meet outside behind the Youth Center. So you'll see us there. Just come on out. Six. If you're there at 6:30, you won't be late. The fellowship's at 6:15, and then we'll move right outside. It's starting to get light. Wear a little sweater because it's usually a little bit cool. But I'll tell you what, you'll find it's a very, very special time. It's one of my favorite times, one of my favorite services of the year. Okay, well, God bless you all for watching. I love seeing you on there. Lynn, I see you, and Chastity, and Roman, and Gloria, you all are there already, probably waiting on me. Well, as you see, America has just gone crazy and gone totally off the rocker, off the rails. And I heard somebody saying the other day, I'm sorry if this is a little bit crooked, but bear with me, I'm here alone tonight. You've heard people say, it looks like we're losing the battle. We're losing the battle. America's losing the battle. I think we're just going to lose America and we're going to lose the conservatives. No, we are not going to lose anything. The body of Christ is still here. And as long as the body of Christ stays together, prays together, let me tell you something. There is no battle for us to lose. So let's stay together in this game. And I want to tell you, do not speak foolishly. Now, that's what Job told his wife. God told him, we're coming out of this mess. And God said, don't you guys even look back. And what did Job's wife do? She just had to turn and look back. You say, well, that's a woman thing. Oh, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. But I'm just saying, she did turn and look back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Listen, I don't want us getting all into paralysis and turning into, we won't be a literal pillar of salt. But I see a lot of people today, I think, that are having a little spiritual paralysis. I don't want us to do that. Now listen, I've got a big responsibility. Whether your church pastor is small or large, it does not matter. We have a big responsibility to take care of our people, to protect them. And that's why I am always, forever going to tell you the truth. Because I love you and I want us to stay strong in this battle. So let's take a look tonight at David. And let me tell you what David did when they were up against it like we are. I mean, they had threats of all kinds. And I'm calling this message tonight, urgency and expectancy. And let me tell you, folks, we all have both. Sometimes right now we're all feeling the urgency. We're feeling urgency. It's time to do this. It's time to do that. God, it's time to work. So we feel the urgency because Paul said, work while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. And so they're trying to shut us up right now, but I'm telling you, we still have time to work. And we can't just pray about it. We have to work, watch, and pray. And so let us take our example from King David tonight. All right, let's go over to Psalms chapter 62. He repeats this twice. And let me teach you this. Anytime you see something repeated twice in the word, in one sentence or in a paragraph, that means it's very important and God wants us to know. Okay, we're going to start with verse 1, Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And now I'm not going to read all this, but verse 3, line 1 says, how long will you attack a man? Well, we're beginning to wonder, how long can they attack every single, any order of anything going on in the United States, from schools to public meetings to churches to everything? How long can a man be attacked? All right, so let's go back down to verse 5, and it says again, David said, my soul wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is our refuge. There's no other refuge. People are looking for refuge today in people, in governments, in news. Well, you can forget that, in money, in their jobs. But David says, now I'm just going to wait silently for God. I'm just going to wait. My expectancy is in him. It's not in anything else that this world has to offer. And then he says, I will not be greatly moved. They're just not going to push me from my faith. They are not going to push me from my hope. Sunday morning, we talked about being prisoners of hope, and we are just not going to be pushed around. So we're not going to cower. We're not going to be afraid, because we have a rock that we stand on. We have a shelter and we have a defense. That's not even the military nor the men in blue. Our defense is in God. Though I praise God for both our military and our police force and all the first responders, but our defense is in Jesus. At one point in verse 4, I didn't read it, but it says they delight in lies. I mean, I've never seen a time where people seem to delight in lies. And again, I believe it's because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the gospel is the word of truth. And the word of truth lives on the inside of us. So when we speak the truth, Satan wants to do nothing more, nothing greater than shut up the truth and get us to cower and just be quiet and say nothing. Now, can I tell you this? Even though David knew there was an urgency here, I mean, they were being pushed and the lies were coming out and they were trying to take over, and they were trying to, this was government takeover. And it's just like it was. I read a special the other day on Venezuela. And I'm telling you, they started with taking away their freedom of speech. Isn't that amazing? They started by taking away freedom of speech, and then everything else just followed suit. And it almost looks like the same thing happening in America. And the person that was given the documentary said this. She said, communism starts with taking away the freedom of speech and people's rights. And then it moves right into socialism and right into communism, and that's Marxism. So folks, this is no time to just feel urgency. We can feel that, and it's okay to feel the urgency. I want us to feel the urgency. God wants us to feel that it's urgent. But we've also got to feel the expectancy. And our expectancy has to be in the right place. So David says, my expectation is from him, from God alone. So I give God praise for that. Now, what does urgency mean? And let me say this, both urgency and expectancy is a part of all of our lives. You know that. I know that. I mean, they're both a part of our lives. I looked up the word urgency, and it means this. Now, see if you don't feel some of this urgency inside your heart or inside your mind. Urgency means pressure, compelling, stress, and uncomfortableness. Now, anytime you and I feel stressed, it's an uncomfortable feeling. We don't like to feel that, whether you're on your job or there's stress in your work or in your marriage or with your children. No one likes to feel tired and stressed out. And we don't like to feel that pressure. Now, I spoke to a girl this week, and she felt that she has a gift in her, which we all have gifts in us. Paul said the Holy Spirit distributed the gifts as he will. Now, she's feeling one rise up in her, and she says that she feels compelled to go, compelled to do it, compelled. And I'll tell you, Satan will put that pressure on you, and he will compel you and push you and say, now is the time, now. But I'm just saying, make sure that you wait on the Lord. David knew he was going to be king, and he knew he was anointed to be king, yet he's hiding in a cave. And so he said, but my expectation is of the Lord. Now, the word expectancy, what does that mean? Now listen to this. Expectancy is thinking or hoping something pleasant is going to happen. Now, we live with the expectancy. Little kids go to school and they expect for somebody to pick them up after school, whether it's a school bus or a parent. But their expectancy is in that person to pick them up. And there's expectancies of the employer. He expects his workers to come to work that week. And then the employee expects to have a check in the mail or a check in the account at the end of the week or the end of the month or biweekly. But his expectancy is, I'm going to get my money for my week's work. So expectancy is hoping or thinking that something pleasant is going to happen. And everybody seems to be feeling that right now. As you're listening to the prophets, you hear them on TV, you'll hear other Christians all over the place, and the Christians are saying, Pastor, I just feel like something's about to happen. What is that? It's expectancy in God. And yet, at the same time, that same person is saying, what in the world are we going to do? This thing is so heavy, and it looks like America's going to hell in a handbasket. That's a famous saying as well. But I'm going to tell you, we are not going anywhere. Remember, the church is still on this land. Okay, so nothing's going to happen. We're going to be okay. You're going to be just fine. So the world feels the urgency, but I can tell you right now, the world doesn't know what to do about it. The world is thinking, is this the end of the world? Well, no, it's not. But these are the signs of the end times, and we are an end time people. Now, yes, the church feels the urgency too. We do. But our expectancy is in the Lord. Wouldn't you hate to not have your expectancy in something bigger than you, something bigger than money, something larger than your paycheck or your boss or your church or something else? We love our church, but our expectancy is in God. That's where our expectancy is. So, church, that's exactly why we cannot cower and we cannot be afraid. You just can't. Because Jesus is our rock. And just as David said, I will not be moved. And at one point he said, I will not be greatly moved. And he said, trust in him at all times, you people. You people, he's talking to us. And then he says, pour out your heart before him. Tell him your concerns. One lady asked me, she said, I just feel so funny when I pray alone. I just feel so conspicuous. I said, well, you are alone, but Jesus is there with you. The Holy Spirit is there. So go ahead and talk to him. He says, pour your heart out to him as you would a friend. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. That's good news, church. I'm giving you good news tonight. Now, I want to tell you about a young Catholic girl I saw this morning, about the age of my daughter. And maybe you saw her on the news this morning. I was having my breakfast and I turned the news on just to make sure we're all still here and what do I need to know. And there was a sweet young Catholic girl. She had been at Mass. And while she was there, I guess their governor had said they could take mask off and they could go into fellowships, they could go into the church. And so she and her baby went to Mass. It was just she and her baby. And the church that morning had its capacity. It was as full as it could be. And she said all of a sudden they came through the back doors and the authorities came in and said, out, everybody out, out. You're not allowed to be in here. You can't be in here. And push them all out. And she got her baby and she began to cry and she says, how can you do this? We have permission to be here. We kept your rules before, but now they said we could come in. And they said, out, out, you must go out. And she's trying to get her bags and her baby and everything she needed to carry out. And they're rushing her like, this is urgent, you have to get out. And you know what the young woman said? She said, I want to tell you to the journalist. She said, I didn't feel like that was actually political, but it probably was. But she said, I felt like it was power. It was a power grab. They were just taking authority that they didn't have for people. That was another sign in that documentary of communism and the takeover there in Venezuela. It was power grabs. Not only was it the taking away the freedom of speech, but then they wanted power and they would come in and force their authority on people. And I thought of that sweet girl all day long. And you know what? I just felt like I heard her young spirit crying out, saying, folks, this is wrong and this is urgent. Can somebody do something? Please, somebody do something before they take us all out. She was crying. And I thought, I wonder what her church is going to do about that. I wonder what they will do about that. Well, I went to the word of the Lord and I said, Lord, if that comes to us, what do we do? Again, I'm not going to cower. We haven't cowered. We closed when they told us to close last March. And we closed until the day of Pentecost. And we heard we could go back in, and we did that. Now, we had to close for a couple of weeks as many of us got COVID. Just about everybody in the world had COVID one way or another, whether it was systematic or not, or it was a bad case, or it was in the hospital, or even death. We've all had it, probably. So we just got it, and those of us that did recover and were thankful for it, we came on back to church and continued to assemble together. So people got it everywhere. But I want to show you what Paul, Peter, and the New Testament church did. See, because we are the New Testament church. We're not back there with David in the Old Testament. We're not with Moses. We're not with them, though they were only a type of what was coming. But let us look at what Paul and them did when the early church was founded. And they had some of the threats you and I are having today, talking about taking their freedom of speech. Wait until you hear this. All right, we're going to look at Acts chapter 4. Turn with me to verse 1. Let us read about four verses here. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Well, they came a little bit late because 5,000 had already heard the gospel and believed. But these guys still came in. The priest and the captain of the temple believed. Can you believe that? The captain of that temple and the Sadducees became greatly disturbed. They were so upset, not because these people were lawless, not because they were breaking the law, not because they were having evil protests, burning down buildings and burning down the tents of their day. Not because of that, they were greatly disturbed that they taught the people. Now, pastors, you know good and well, they're not going to like us teaching the people. They were greatly disturbed that they taught the people, and here's what they were teaching them. They weren't teaching them to be lawless. They preached Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. Now, you and I are going to meet outside on Friday morning at 6:15. And we're going to talk about Jesus dying on that cross on that same day 2,000 years ago. But these people were going to be put away for it. And it says they came and took all of them, just like they did the Catholic Church. They told that young woman, get out or you'll be arrested. So they took them in custody all night long. But 5,000 had already believed. I'm telling you, folks, we are in for something so big. But that means you and I are going to have to keep speaking, and we're going to have to keep gathering, and we cannot cower, and you cannot be afraid. I'm not afraid of COVID, not afraid of people, not afraid of the government, nothing. Now be gentle and be loving, but come on, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in Him. Our expectancy is of God. Yes, there's an urgency, but where's your expectancy? So they said 5,000 people were added to the church. I'm just telling you, get ready. You may have to give up your seat. Who knows? We may have to move off our land. And not just us, but the churches, the remnant of God who have our expectancy in God. So they said, by what? You've healed this man. I won't read it all. There was a huge healing. They were healing people. And they said, how did you do this? And when they had set them in the midst, they said, by what power and by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, O rulers and elders of the people, let me tell you about it. That Jesus that you crucified, it was by His name that we did this. See, these people, just like the people of the world today, are saying America is losing the battle. These people said, folks, we are losing the battle. We're the early church. We were just birthed, but I think we're losing this battle. Oh no, there was a remnant that said, oh, Peter, we're hanging with you, brother. Man, we're hanging together, you guys. We are not gonna go here. And so Peter preached the gospel to them. And then look what it says. You gotta hear this. I pray, just sit down a minute and please listen to me. It says, now when they saw the boldness in verse 13 and 14. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Now, I don't care about being with anybody else, but I want people to say about you and me at Landmark, and the people we run with, and it will be this will be a statement over our city. I declare to you that Porterville is a revival town. And they will come to see Jesus in Porterville. It's like a blanket. The glory of the Lord is going to cover us. From the very beginning, the founding fathers of this little city played demonic games. Now, they may have had the beginning, but God says greater is the end of a thing than the beginning. So we will take this thing over. And it said the folks, the people of the city, the captain of the temple, the priests and the Sadducees, all of these people marveled, and they realized that these poor, ignorant, untrained men, that they called them, had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with him, listen, folks, they could say nothing against it. This is what's coming. With this urgency, and if we stay connected in our expectancy, I'm going to say we will come to a place where people will be added daily to the church, such as should be saved, because every one of us will be speaking the truth under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and there won't be a thing they will say about it. They will be stunned. They could say nothing against it when they saw the man healed and so many thousands coming in. Well, that's what they did when the power grab came. That's what they did when they told them, be quiet and don't talk. I don't want you to talk about it. We're taking your freedom of speech. What did they do? They came together and prayed. Now, I'm going to show you one more thing in closing. Stay with me just another few minutes. Look at this. In Acts, we're still in Acts chapter 4. It is so full. Just go through Acts chapter 4. Read the whole thing. So they came together, they gathered together. Verse 27 says, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, gathered together to do whatever your hand, your purpose determined before. Okay, let me skip that. I want to go to verse 29. Now, Lord, here's what they prayed. You say, what did they pray? Here it is. Now, Lord, look on their threats. That's what I'm praying. Lord, look on the government's threats. Look on the governor's threats. Look on the president and the vice president's threats. Look on the governor's threats. Look at them, Lord. And now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants, the remnant, that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, they all came together, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, wasn't that what they told them not to do? They said, don't speak. And then listen to this in verse 33. It says, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to what? To the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. What did they preach? Excuse me. What did they preach? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it just happened not too long before that. Now, you and I are 2,000 years down the road, and we still must be preaching Jesus was resurrected from the dead in his body, soul, and his spirit. Jesus was resurrected. So they told him in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 2, they were disturbed because they preached Jesus resurrected from the dead. Now, here's what happens, church. Here's why I keep preaching. Stay together with the body. Those of you that haven't come back to church, maybe you've gone somewhere else. I pray if you have, but go somewhere. Gather with the body of believers. We have to stay together. We must. They stayed together. And when they came together, the Bible says that they prayed. They prayed together. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Now, let me tell you this. I'm not going to flow with what the world says. I am not flowing with what somebody says on the internet. A pretty little picture the other day came up, and it was total darkness. And it said, don't curse the darkness. And then it had a little candle. It said, light the candle and be a light in the darkness. And then there was a preacher that came on and quoted that. Maybe it came out of their own heart. But it said, don't curse the darkness. but be light a candle. Are you kidding me? Come on, my brother and sister. Come on, church. The darkness, you can't curse it. You can't curse darkness. It's already cursed. We can't light our own candle. Our candle was lit like these people when we took on salvation in the Lord. When we took him on. We are the light of the world. We don't have to go try to light a little candle in the darkness. We are already a light in the darkness. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. No, we're not going to roll over. Oh, you poor little darkness. You be nice now. We're going to be a light. No. And I don't have to. I have a cursed darkness. We can't curse darkness. It's already cursed. Read Deuteronomy 28. And if you go along with it, you'll be cursed too. I don't care what they say about these last days. God has a word and he's sticking to it. So here we go. They said, oh God, let me run through it really quick. They prayed, Lord, look at their threats. Number one, what are you going to pray? Just look at this and you can pray this. Pray with me. This is what I prayed today. Lord, look at their threats. They're threatening us. They're threatening that little transgender boys are going to be able to go in the girls' bathrooms at school. Grown transgender men are going to be able to go into the girls' locker rooms. Grown transgender men are going to be able to go into to public bathrooms. Come on. God, can you hear their threats? Take away their threats. Come on, church. Let's pray we pull these threats down. I said, Lord, look at what they're threatening us to do. And grant boldness to your servants, that with all boldness we will speak your word. Just give us boldness. You don't have to shout. You don't have to be loud. You just be bold in what you believe. And if somebody comes to you talking one way, you don't have to agree with them. Don't just say, well, I know. No, you don't know. And if you don't have the answer, then come in and let's work it out. Let's find it in the word. But when you know something's dark, in fact, the book of Jude said this to us. He said, present your case to a person if they just want to argue with you. Present your case to them once and present it twice. And after that, they are a heretic. You know what a heretic is? It's a person with a warped mind. They're just warped. So I don't carry on a lot of arguments with people. I will present the argument once, get it twice, and then leave them talking to themselves. Just let them talk to themselves. That's what Jude told us, one of the last books written next to the book of Revelation. So they said, Lord, listen to their threats, but give us boldness that we might speak. And that's what your pastor prays for you. I pray that we will have such holy boldness in this last day that even our babies, see, the Bible says that our sons and our daughters will speak, and our sons' daughters and our daughters' daughters. May our grandchildren prophesy. May the handmaidens prophesy. May the old men dream and the young men see visions. And may this word come out of our mouth with holy boldness to make a difference and have great expectancy in this land. They said, Lord, help us to speak with boldness. But Lord, you stretch out your hand because we can't do it. But we're asking you to stretch out your hand and heal. Stretch out your hand to heal. So folks, take a chance, okay? It's not your business whether God heals the person or not. I'm saying if you feel to pray for somebody, pray for them and then leave it up to God. Okay, that's not your responsibility because you can't heal them anyway. We can't. And so just pray for them and let it fall. But ask God to stretch out his hand and heal them and then do signs and wonders. You say, what's a sign and wonder? Well, I'll tell you, when we see a sign and wonder, we just wonder, whoo, how did that happen? And we know it's supernatural. But in these last hours, with our expectancy of God, I'm going to tell you right now, there is an urgency in these last days for the end time people to do these mighty works. If the brand new church, the baby church, came out and they came together and they stayed together and they prayed to God to give them holy boldness to speak and to stretch out his hand to heal and they wanted to see signs and wonders, so do we, church. He said that this may be done through your holy son, Jesus, And then I leave you with this. The Bible says when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together, the place, listen to me, don't get mad at me, the place where they were assembled together, they came together as the body of Christ, God's people, a remnant. They came together, and it says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The very thing that they asked God to do, he did for them. Now, folks, this is what's going to happen. He's going to fill us with boldness. He'll stretch out his hand to heal. He will do signs and wonders. And when they gather together, I'm going to tell you, if you want to feel the shaking and see it, I know the world's shaking right now. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But if you want to be a part of what God is doing with his people, you need to run with God's people. And then it says, with great power, the apostles gave witness. And great grace was upon them as they witnessed about the resurrection of Jesus. And I love verse 32. The multitude of those who believed, were all believers, were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say anything of the things he possessed was his own. They had all things common. They had one mind and one accord. And that is so powerful. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul said, listen, and I close. I know I said that before, but I do. Paul said, the preaching of the cross is to those who perish, it's foolishness to them. That's why some of the people you work with, you'll start talking about the power of the cross, and they may think it's foolishness, but the Bible says to us who are saved, it is the power of God. That's why we're going to meet Friday morning, and we're going to come to the cross, and we're going to worship Jesus and thank him for what he did for us, and we are going to give him honor. Why? Because at the cross is the power of God. So with David, we say, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall, say it with me, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him when, at all times, no matter what comes or what goes or what you hear or what you see, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is our refuge for us. And I love this word. He said, Selah. Think on these things. Is that beautiful, church? So pray and be filled with the Spirit. And assemble yourself together with us. If we're your body, then gather with us. If you don't want to do that, then gather somewhere. But gather with the body of Christ. I'm telling you, if you desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost, he has even given us another language. He has given us the language of his Spirit, that we speak in tongues. He said, it's with refreshing and strength. I will refresh you with the power of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Father, we pray with the people in the book of Acts. We pray with the early church because we are still one with them. And Lord, we are surrounded with a cloud of many witnesses. And I believe that cloud of witnesses in heaven, even now, are looking down on us and saying, hear the word of the Lord. See how the early church was birthed and do that. So Lord, tonight we agree in one heart and one mind. And everybody who may even may be watching somewhere in the world, around the world, I pray, Lord, that on this night we will agree together and say, Lord, behold their threatenings. And Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, that they might know that surely we have been with you. Lord, stretch forth your hand to do signs and wonders by your holy child, Jesus. And Lord, fill us with the precious power of the Holy Spirit. And give us that heavenly language for those that don't have the Holy Spirit living inside them. Father, I pray that now he would come in the fullness of his Spirit. You told them after they were saved to be baptized in the Holy Ghost with fire. Baptize us this night. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we praise you. Amen. Well, I bless you, church. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and turn his face toward you and give you peace in your home and in your life in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. I'll see you Friday morning, 6:15.